I'll introduce the first speaker. I don't think I ever met her. So, like, I'm just grateful to be able to hear what she has to share. And, like, I'll introduce Megan M. from the Principal's First Group of NA in the Beaver Valley area of NA.
Hi, I'm Megan. I'm an addict. I always get nervous when I'm asked to speak, and it's really not my favorite way to serve in Narcotics Anonymous, but I always say yes when I'm asked if I can, because I was taught that it's a privilege to serve this fellowship. And, you know, I was actually kind of trying to get somebody else to speak on this topic, and a friend of mine had spoke on Tradition 5 at my home group maybe like 7 years ago, and it was probably the best lead I ever heard. And I said to Keith, I was like, you should get this guy to speak on this tradition. And I guess he wasn't able to speak. And he's like, no, you know who you should get to speak on this tradition? And so it was sort of like this boomerang effect. And now I'm here. And I kind of don't want to be. And truthfully, the reason I always get nervous to speak, and I'm sure that everyone can relate to this, is because, you know, anytime I'm asked to do this and I have to kind of, you know, be open and vulnerable, of course my disease kicks up and says, like, you don't have anything to say. No one wants to listen to you. And I know that that's doesn't really matter if that is true. If I have nothing to say, I'm still asked to speak. But I think in a lot of ways I probably do have something to share. And at the end of the day, I always go back to what Rich taught me, which is the first 2 minutes are mine and the rest are God's. So traditions 5, 6, and 7, and then I think what's really tripping me up are the words integrity and responsibility. And especially when I think of integrity, like, I was thinking about it a lot this morning, and I was like, why would they ask me to speak on integrity? That's something I don't have a lot of. And it's funny the way that my head works, because it's I can twist things so badly in my head, and one of my biggest character defects is perfectionism, right? And I was thinking about how it's like really this like all-or-nothing thinking, and if I suffer from perfectionism and I have to be everything, right, I can't measure up to that standard, then I'm obviously nothing. And the longer I'm here, the more self-acceptance I get, and I know that, like, those things are lies, that's, like, the illusion that I fall into. And when I look at the evidence and I look at what's real, I can't say that I have I'm a person who has integrity today. So Tradition 5, you know, each group has one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. I was really impressed with, like, the little preamble to this meeting, to all the meetings that are here, because it mentions the message in all of them. And I think that's a great way to start any Narcotics Anonymous meeting, was with the message that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose a desire to use, and find a new way to live. For me, it was really important that that was the message, that any addict can do this, because, you know, the one thing that my head always does is try to disqualify me from this program in general. I was lucky enough to hear a woman share earlier, and she talked about, like, feeling different than when she first came to NA, because she didn't have a lot of those yets yet, you know? And, you know, when I got here, I didn't have a lot of those yets yet, and luckily I stayed, and, like, a lot of them never had to come true. You know, like, my head always tells me that, like, I don't belong here, and the craziest thing about that, I think, for me, is that, you know, it talks about, like, no addict need die from this disease, and like at the end of my road I almost died, right? Like this disease nearly killed me, and at the same time I like to tell myself that it really wasn't that bad. I don't know if it could be much worse, right? Like and I think what's the worst thing about it for me is the fact that when I almost died, like, that's what I was looking for. Like, I was spiritually dead before I got here. And so for me, the message that an addict, any addict, can stop using means that, like, I belong here, you know? That's what our third tradition is. And when I said that my friend gave one of the best leads on Tradition 5 that I ever heard, like, one of the things he said was, you know, like, it's our primary purpose, and primary means, like, first and foremost. And he's like, so why isn't it the first tradition? Like, why is it tradition number 5? And he talked about how, like, the first four traditions really clear the way from us. Like, they stop, like, us from, like, kind of preventing that primary purpose. They free us up from ourselves so that we can carry the message. You know, they set the guidelines for us to allow that freedom that the group has to carry the message and make it the primary purpose. This week has been pretty cool. Like, I've been to a lot of meetings this week, and I usually only go to like one or two a week, and I went to three, so it's not like that many, but as an extra one. And the one night, the topic was atmosphere of recovery. And Tradition 5 talks a lot about the groups and their ability to create that atmosphere. And, you know, sitting in that meeting really reminded me of this one home group that I had. And, you know, it talks about integrity and responsibility. And the home group that I had for a long time, it was my home group for like 7 years. And one of the reasons I loved that meeting was because we used this chair, like this secretary's report thing to chair the group conscience meetings. And it was something that the East End area had developed as part of their GSR toolkit. But every group conscience, there was two questions that were on that thing that we asked ourselves every month. And one was, do we have any primary purpose issues? And the other one was, do we have any atmosphere recovery issues? And that group in particular really taught me how to truly take a group inventory, to come together as a group of addicts, to make sure that what we were doing as a group was fulfilling our primary purpose, protecting the integrity of NA. Because that's what the tradition asks us to do. If we keep the message first and primary, it opens it up so that addicts are free to come in any shape or form and find a new way to live. And because it's that important, because again, like I said, I almost died from this disease and it's life or death. And it was interesting because a lot of times, like, we would talk about that and it was like, you know, atmosphere recovery issues we would like run into where, you know, like all the home group members sitting at the same table. Like, we should split up, you know, we should sit at different tables. Like, you know, we have a greeter at the door, but it's only a man. We should have a woman at the door too. We actually had a newcomer representative. I don't think anyone ever used a newcomer representative, but you know, during our thing, it would say, you know, like, we've elected newcomer representatives. If you have any questions about NA, like, this is the person. Like, so like, if you, you know, we're scared to approach somebody, it's like, go see that person in particular. And we really try to make it a welcoming environment so that someone could come in. The other things that I loved about that meeting kind of tie in more with, like, Tradition 6, where we actually had, like, a little thing in there about, it's something that we took from, like, I think the 11th step somewhere, but the idea that while some of our members might have a religious affiliation, rarely do we hear religion talked about in our groups. You know, this is a spiritual, not religious program. And, you know, in reading Tradition 6, it talks a lot about in there that, like, as a member, it's my responsibility to make sure that what I do outside of NA doesn't infringe on the message that I carry. You know, that it's important for me to not appear to be affiliated with something else because, you know, someone coming in the door may not understand that, like, yeah, I'm free to do what I want. And they might take my message to be NA's message, right? When, like, that stuff is for me personally, you know, but it's not for everybody in NA. And so, you know, the other tradition, the principle that comes up with all the traditions is anonymity. You know, like, I've learned how to share with some anonymity where, like, I can share principles and I don't have to share all the details so that everyone can relate. You know, when you're relating at that level of empathy and understanding rather than, like, the specifics, so you can't separate as easily. And so that was one of the things that we put in there in order to protect the atmosphere of recovery, because we had a gentleman come to the meeting, and he would share about, you know, his beliefs in a way that was very outspoken and very, like, you should do this too. And not only did we put that in the little preamble, but we also said, and if he does it after we do this and changes to our format, this person in particular is going to approach him with love and kindness and say, hey, man, you're scaring people. Like, you're welcome here, but we're going to really ask you to not share in this manner because we have to protect the atmosphere of recovery. And the one thing I read in there today that talked about, it's each member's responsibility to protect the integrity of the message. It's each member's responsibility to protect the fellowship of NA. And that we have that duty to do that. You know, for me, like, I always go to Tradition 6 when I think about, you know, the idea of, you know, cooperation rather than affiliation. I have a lot of respect for the other 12-step fellowships, but I'm not a member of them. You know, if I was asked to speak at another fellowship, I would say no. And I've had some home groups where they've tried to bring in speakers from outside fellowships, and I've had to say to, like, my home group members, like, yeah, like, they're not an NA member. Like, this is an NA fellowship. And it's cool that they found recovery, but our message is about addiction, right? Like, and to be able to stand on principles. And I think the word integrity is really bothering me on a deep level, because recently I got struck with this character defect, and I remember calling my sponsor, and I was like, I had this interaction with this lady at work today, and I just feel so uncomfortable. I was like, I kind of told her something, and, you know, like, I can stand by that, but it just did not go well, and I just felt so uncomfortable. And she said, anytime I feel like someone doesn't like me, I feel uncomfortable, right? Like, she was like, I so badly want to be liked. It's one of my character defects. And I was like, yeah, that's the defect that I'm in, is wanting to be liked. And I forget what I ended up Googling that night, but it talked about integrity being the principle to kind of override that feeling. And I kind of look back on that same situation. I'm like, yeah, if I had to be in that situation all over again, I would do the exact same thing, because I was acting on principle. And sometimes when I act on principle, I might feel a little uncomfortable. But if I bend my principles to feel comfortable, to accommodate you, I cross a boundary. And in Reasoning Tradition 6, the word boundary is mentioned like 5 times. You know, that boundary needs to be clear, because it protects what we do here. And protecting what we do here makes it show that another person has a chance to recover. And it's easy to lose sight of. And it's easy to lose sight of, you know, when I'm at my home group and my friends are there and, you know, I get caught up in talking to them. It's easy to lose sight of when I'm in service and we're talking about something that seems important, but at the end of the day, it's like, how does it serve the fellowship? Why do we just waste 2 hours talking about this? And the really cool thing is from being in that home group where we had that format, a lot of times, especially when we were talking about things that came from area or that came from region or that came from world, we all learned to say, how does this affect our primary purpose? How does this affect the addict that still suffers? I was taught that by the members of that group to take a step back and think about things more than just my wants and desires, right? Like, how does this fit into the greater fabric of NA? So Tradition 7 is being fully self-supporting, right, through our own contributions. And I think for me, like, the one of the coolest things about that is, like, I always thought that self-sufficiency was self-support. And nothing could be further from the truth. You know, self-sufficiency is I, of my own power, can do this all by myself. This is a we fellowship. And it takes all of us. You know, that's what the first tradition, to me, someone told me the first step tells me I'm fucked. And the first tradition tells me I'm fucked without you, right? This is about a we thing. And, you know, the idea that I'm responsible today, you know, to me, that self-support, you know, it goes into more than just the money that I put in the basket. Of course, the money that was put in the basket helps, you know, like there's, you know, rent to pay, literature to buy, et cetera, and so on. But when I didn't have money to put in the basket, like, I was taught to put away chairs. You know, I was taught to stand and greet at the door. I was taught to get involved in service, you know, to be a GSR, to do something, to give back to this fellowship, to support this fellowship. In some way, shape, or form, and that it was my responsibility to do so, and that it's the group's responsibility to decline outside contributions. I think one of the cool things about it is, like, those things free us up. Like I said, like, those first four traditions kind of free us from ourselves, and these traditions, 6 and 7, free us from having to, like, be impinged, like, on, like, by, like, the outside, right? Like, if we lend ourselves or name to somebody else outside, or we let them influence us through their financing, like, we're jeopardizing our freedom. If someone's financing me, I kind of have to do what they say in some way, shape, or form. And that's one of the ways that this keeps us free from doing that. You know, whether that's, you know, financing through giving us free meeting space, or whether it's, you know, like, somebody, like, cooking us all free meals, like, however we're getting support from an outside enterprise is an issue. You know, we have to be fully self-supporting. And I work at a nonprofit, and we are not fully self-supporting. We depend very much on the donations of others. And I'll tell you, sometimes I really wish that wasn't the case, because it's like you get stuck, right? Like, so I've had that experience when someone else is giving you the money, you kind of got to do what you want. And it's not always a nice place to be in. Sometimes it's way better to be able to stand back on principles, to stand back on integrity, and to be able to say, like, no, this is who we are, this is what we do, and if it's not going to fit in with the way we're cooperating with an outside entity, then it's not going to work. And it's not a take it or leave it. It's a collaboration. It's a speaking to. It's a discussion to be had. But at the end of the day, you know, like, these principles have to stay intact. I think it's really cool to kind of be here for a while and watch things come and go. You know, I've kind of gone on, like, high kicks of, like, thinking I've known everything and judging people and thinking they needed to do it this way. And I've gone on other kicks where I've been like, whatever. NA can do whatever it wants. My home group's still going to meet. Everything's going to be just fine. You know, and I've kind of found a balance between, like, thinking I had to control it all and completely letting go, you know, and learning how to lend my voice to a group conscience to be a part of, but tend to let go of the end result and to let the group conscience take hold, right? Like, these traditions don't work in a vacuum. You know, 5, 6, and 7 are important, but they also work with the other traditions surrounding them. And I was taught that if a group doesn't follow the traditions, it's likely going to fold, you know? And I'm struggling with somebody in our area right now, and it's bothering me on a deep personal level. And I was sharing it with another recovering addict. He's like, it will all come out in the wash, you know? So it's important for me to remember that as much as it's my responsibility to maybe say something, at the end of the day, like, the second tradition reminds me that I'm not the ultimate authority. And sometimes I just need to let go. Anyway, I think that's all I have. Thanks.
All right. I'd like to welcome the second speaker for the meeting. I never met this woman either, but I'm glad that I got the privilege to hear what she says. And with that, I'd like to introduce, how do you say your name?
Deborah.
Deborah G. from Tuesday's Night Group at Narcotics Anonymous in Northeast area of NA.
Thursday night of. Yeah. Actually, my name is spelled right. My name is Deborah. I am from the Thursday night Oakmont group. my name is Deborah, and I am an addict. When Keith called me, and actually he got me on Messenger, and the interesting thing is I've been on Facebook for about a year, and I recently, a couple months ago, activated my account specifically for Messenger, because there are a few women who I used to sponsor who, not uncommon to women who are in recovery, change their phone number all the time or don't have phones. And that is the way that they reach me. And I had activated it specifically for that purpose, and up popped Keith on Messenger, asking me to speak here, and, I checked my calendar, and sure enough, there was nothing on it. And so I said yes, because like Megan, I was taught, I don't say no. If I am able to fulfill a commitment that Narcotics Anonymous has honored me and asked me to fulfill, I do it. And I had hoped that I could get some people together to come up here with me and spend the weekend, but that didn't happen. So I drove round trip three hours to speak for 15 or 20 minutes. And that is such a small price to pay for the life that I have been given here. You know, God willing, in 60 days, we'll celebrate 27 years clean. I have seen a lot of things. I'm actually thrilled at the number of people that are at a tradition meeting, because unfortunately I'm really envious of what Megan was able to share about what she learned at her home group. Recently at my own home group, where I've been a member off and on for more than 27 years, because it was my home group when I came around the first time, is really an example of what happens when we don't uphold our traditions in our group and as individual members. if you're a member of Narcotics Anonymous, I was taught that with that membership comes some responsibility. And the part that always amazes me, because I sponsor some women. I didn't sponsor all of them from the very beginning, so I haven't worked. I didn't work all the steps with them. But that people don't want to learn about their tradition so much anymore is what I'm finding in my area. I ask the women that I sponsor to always, I don't ask them to write on a tradition when they're working a step, but I do ask them to read them, to understand them, to bring it up as a topic at the meeting. And I've had women do that and call me after the meeting and say, no one shared on the tradition. And, you know, in the very first part of our reading, it talks about these are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. Alive and free. That's what I found here. Life. Freedom. And to think that they don't matter. And you know, what Megan shared is exactly right. And our traditions teach us. And I've seen it happen. If there is not unity, and we are not fulfilling our primary purpose, that will cause disunity. And that disunity will cause that group to fold. And that is can be disastrous, life-ending. If somebody, and think about the first time you went to an NA meeting. If somebody comes to a meeting, right, and that meeting isn't there, or there's not an atmosphere of recovery, I don't know about you, but I wasn't really fond. I wasn't really into the whole idea of, I didn't come here and say, I want to have integrity. I want to be responsible. That's why I'm here. No, I didn't. I didn't even think I wanted to be clean. I didn't know what else to do. I was at the end of my road. And because there were people there and because that door was open, if that door had been closed, I don't know that I would have went again. I worry about that. That I have some issues. There are some issues going on in my home group that have my spirit deeply troubled. And about a week or two after Keith asked me to speak, I got a better offer. I could be home with my grandchildren right now. And I said, no, I'm sorry, I can't. And I, for the last week, kept thinking, geez, why didn't she ask me before they asked me to speak? I have to drive the whole way up there and the whole way back by myself, and holy cow. And but one of the things when I am asked to speak that I tend to do is pick up the book. And so I have read Traditions 5, 6, and 7 in three of our books recently, and has really opened my eyes. I knew our group had some issues that we would be discussing in our group conscience the next Thursday. But it really opened my eyes that it's deeper and bigger than I thought. And it really caused me to take an inventory of myself and how I have been behaving. And Megan shared a lot about, you know, our primary purpose. And exactly, I'm not going to reiterate what she said. First and foremost, our primary purpose for our group is to carry the message. And Tradition 6 warns us of some things that can happen, right, if we divert. It's all about not diverting from our primary purpose. So what causes us to divert from our primary purpose? If I'm holding a conversation while the meeting is going on, does it divert from the people sitting around me if they can hear me? I think it does. Am I guilty of that sometimes? Yes, I am. But I can now be aware of that. And I'm going to tell you a story, and it's a really sad story, and I'm really concerned for my home group, which has been there for 35 years. Has been a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And a couple of weeks ago, there was a speaker, and I was sitting in the very front of the room listening to this woman give her first lead. We have two rows of tables. And somebody sitting at a back table I didn't know who it was at first, but I heard somebody speaking loud enough. And just by the way, if you're in a meeting and you're talking, and it's okay, but if the whole room turns around and looks, yeah, they're probably looking at you and they can hear you, and you probably need to keep it down or take it outside because it disrupted the meeting. And this woman, and it's hard to do this. Much like Megan, I do not like to come up here and share, and I do not want to share with you what happened at my home group. But I think it's important because there was a fight inside of my home group, a fist fight, during a speaker meeting. Because somebody was talking, and somebody else got offended. And I don't know exactly how that ended up in a fist fight, but in the middle of a speaker meeting, there was a fist fight. Do you think that's a diversion? There were newcomers there that had never been to that meeting before. Some of them left. I think about that kid every night and pray that he found another Narcotics Anonymous meeting that he is willing to go back to. That may have been his first and only. That is his impression of Narcotics Anonymous now. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal. We die from this. You know, I don't know how many other people left. And yes, we did our responsibility, but the thing is as a home group member, if somebody is talking and I know that, I actually believe that I have a responsibility to gently and quietly ask them to keep it down or take it outside, to respect the meeting place, to respect the speaker. This is not, like I said, this is not easy to do this. So that has really, really been on my mind heavy, because that just happened about 2 weeks ago. And I wasn't even thinking about it in terms of speaking on these traditions until I was in the book. And I was like, oh my gosh, we need to do a serious inventory at our home group. The other thing that Tradition 6 talks about is, you know, it is affiliation. We're not affiliated. It's cooperation, not affiliation. And that's a great, that's a tricky area, right? How do I keep myself affiliated with? So if I'm sharing my story, and, you know, I've heard people share, you know, where they work or where they're a therapist, you know, and that's probably not appropriate in the meeting, because it lends itself, if somebody's new and they don't know any different, that that's what you have to do. Clubhouses, right? We have one in our area. And you know, we are very fortunate in the tri-state regional area. We have tons of meetings, tons and tons of meetings that we can go to in multiple fellowships. But the traditions have taught me that Narcotics Anonymous is a distinct and separate fellowship in its own right. Our problem is addiction. Other 12-step fellowships deal with other things. And that it is a direct violation of our tradition, 6, to bring in or use, to bring in speakers or use literature. And I've heard many people say, well, what's the difference? It's still a good message. The difference is identification. The difference is if I'm a new person and I can't relate to you, I may not come back. And that's a person that we've lost the opportunity to carry the message to. You know, it is an honor to answer a cry for help. It is an honor to get the opportunity to help someone find the life that I have been given, because people before me were willing to do this, to open the door of a meeting place. It's a really big deal. And, you know, when I never really thought about how related they are. Integrity, you will find in all of them. And like I said, when I got here, I didn't come here to get character traits. Wasn't something I was even trying to do. It just kind of happened as a result of the steps. I heard someone pick up a key tag recently, a friend of mine, and when she was talking, she said about how she did it. She said, "But the steps, that was the game changer." That, and that's true. But without the traditions, we lose that opportunity. It's a big deal when meetings close. It's a big deal when meetings aren't fulfilling the purpose of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and tradition, so that, right, there's responsibility, right, that the primary purpose is to carry the message. There's responsibility in not diverting or affiliating myself, right, that can detract from that. And as far as even, like, I am particular about, like, this is a shirt from a retreat. It does not say NA on it. Most of our, I hope all of our, t-shirts and don't specifically state. Why would that be? What if I relapse and I'm wearing something that says NA on it? Do you think that's not the public's view of Narcotics Anonymous? It is, actually. And I, a lot of times I won't even wear these unless I'm at an NA meeting. Or somewhere where people in recovery are gathering, because I should not represent NA. Believe it or not, there are people who may not like me. You know? And if they see me wearing this, they're not going to want to come there or send their loved ones there. That's, you know, I used to be on a public information subcommittee, and we used to carry PI messages into schools, right? Now that gets to be a really tricky area, to not affiliate with the school and not deliver their message, right? Because trust me, the teachers wanted you to deliver their message. The other thing, which is why I bring it up with the affiliation, is it's not a good idea for me to go to a school that I went to. People might think it's great that if they knew me, that I am clean today and that I'm living the way I'm living. They might not. And if they know me, they are going to affiliate Narcotics Anonymous with me, and I do not represent Narcotics Anonymous. I should never, none of us, represent Narcotics Anonymous. I'm so grateful that I got clean when I did, and that these traditions were instilled in me. Interestingly enough, Megan and I are from the same sponsor family. And I can tell you, my sponsor believes in the traditions, and anyone that knows her knows that. But I also, like, I have women who just refuse, and I don't want to say they refuse, but they don't want to talk about the traditions. They don't have anything to say about them. They think they don't apply. They apply. They apply to all of us. You know, tradition 7, as far as responsibility, I think is pretty obvious, right? I need to support my meeting place. And if I can't support it financially, when I got clean, they used to say, if you have a dollar, put it in. If you need a dollar, take it out. At some point, we stopped saying that. And we were also very clear that we do not accept outside contributions. And I was reading in Tradition 7, like, the difference between donating and contributing. If I contribute to something, I'm part of it. If I'm donating to it, it's external to me. And that there is a difference. And that I contribute to Narcotics Anonymous. one of the most valuable things, in my opinion, that you can contribute is your time. Because it is the most valuable resource I have. And so I do that. I am a greeter at my home group. I do show up early. Sometimes I stay late, not all the time. I chair the meetings. We have three meetings at my home group. We have a speaker meeting, a step in tradition meeting, and we have a beginners meeting. And I am always willing, even if I want to hear the speaker, if my home group needs a chairperson, I'll chair it. And, you know, when I got clean, there were a lot of literature discussions. There were also a lot less meetings. And my first sponsor told me that at least one meeting a week had to be a step in tradition meeting. Had to be. That was a requirement. If I wanted what she had, that's what she did, and that's what I needed to do. So I got into the habit of going to step in tradition meetings. And I'm so glad. The literature is pure. What I say up here is my interpretation of that literature. You know, thinking about responsibility, the other thing that I want to touch on, and it's not even directly related to the group, but it is related to Narcotics Anonymous, right? So I have a friend in recovery, very young woman, well, very young to me. She graduated with one of my children. I've grown very close with her over the last 7 or 8 years. And she has struggled to keep her clean date. She has really struggled. And she believes in Narcotics Anonymous and continues to come back. And the most recent time that she relapsed, her mother and I know each other, and we have a relationship. We're close. Her mother often calls me to thank me for helping her daughter. And I don't sponsor her. Actually, my sponsor sponsors her. We're just very close. And when her mother called me, when her daughter was getting out of treatment, she said, "You know, I don't think that NA is such a good thing. I think it's nothing but a gossip." And I said, "Whoa. Why? Why do you think that?" And the reason why is because someone who was landscaping a friend of hers home, they must have known that person was in recovery, knew that they knew this woman, and I'm not sure how the conversation came up, but this person doing the landscaping, who was a member of our fellowship, told everything he said was true. But what happened with that? That woman ran and told her mother, "Oh, I heard," right? And now her family thinks that we're nothing but a gossip. And she didn't want her daughter to come back here. Which I was taught, and when Megan was saying about that, she, you know, her head and her disease tries to tell her she doesn't belong. I had that same problem when I got here, and my first sponsor told me nobody gets here by accident. Nobody ends up in Narcotics Anonymous because they couldn't find the pizza shop. Nobody gets here by accident. And why ever you're here, it's a good reason. And I'm really grateful that she told me about that experience, because I think we often forget that. I assure you, I know the person who told the other woman. There was no malicious intent. Somebody asked about this girl. They responded. They were not thinking that that was going to end up being a bad reflection on Narcotics Anonymous. It was very innocent. There is no doubt in my mind. does that happen here? Yeah, we're human. And that's exactly what I explained to her mother. Well, geez, when I go to work, I have that same problem. I have been inside religious organizations where I've experienced that same behavior. It seems to me that any large group of people tend to talk. So it really does make you stop and think. If you love this fellowship and if you're here, there's a reason you're here. I mean, you're just not at an NA meeting. You're at a retreat. So you're doing a whole weekend of recovery. You're invested, right? It matters how we are, how people reflect us, how we appear to the public, the perception that we put out there. You know, you will not find NA stickers on my bumpers or on my, and yes, people do know, and quite honestly, when I park at work, there are meeting lists all over my car. Just because I forget that I have them, I forget where they are, somebody calls me, I go looking for them, I'm in my car a lot. And when I go to work, I always try to look around. And if there's a book laying on the seat, because I often have my books with me, I put them away. I don't put them away because I'm ashamed. I put them away because I don't want people to affiliate me and to think that I represent this. That's why I put them away. Do I talk about the fact that I'm in recovery? If it's appropriate, I do. They don't need to know exactly where, because that can be turned around and it can cause a problem for Narcotics Anonymous. And what happens when there's a problem in Narcotics Anonymous is people die. People don't get to hear the life-saving message. And, you know, I loved the preamble when he was reading it. I was like, well, there it is. Not said. I don't need to say anything else. Because the message is simple and the message is clear. And we just need to stay focused on that. And we all get distracted. We all get diverted. And I just can't tell you, driving up here, how grateful I was and became on the drive up here that I had been reminded of how important these traditions are, and that I have a responsibility when I share with people to remind them this is what keeps our fellowship alive and free. That's all I have. Thanks.